Heavenly Father, we know the prophet told us that his message was to declare the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit in the pillar of fire. And we know that that was true and is true to this hour. And he also told us that there was a great sense of irreverence amongst us. And in sobriety, Lord, we know that is true also, that America, a great nation of joking, because it really knows that its name is on one of those bombs or several of those bombs, and we know that's true also. The hour of judgment is here, we know that is true. We pray, Lord, that we shall not only know these things, but apprehend them unto faith in Thee, Lord, because You said You would send Elijah, that all the things that You would bring upon the earth would not devolve upon a bride. And we trust that sanctuary, Lord, that ark that we have today. You are our work, our ark, Lord, and we are safely in You according to a word which has been vindicated. Now, Father, we pray You'll help us in the further study of this message the prophet left us, and we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're in number 6 of doing God a service without His will. And before we read on page 29, paragraph, I believe, 150, it's good to understand that this message is not dealing with a lesson on how the saints can know the will of God for their daily lives. That's the most important thing to realize. You know, we often get fooled by the titles of the sermons because we think, well, if he says this, it means that, according to our own background thinking. But this sermon is a real dead ringer fooler. It doesn't deal with the will of God in your daily lives. It is not a devotional approach to doing God a service, but an historical approach. It's a juncture period. This will never come again. This message deals with this very hour of the appearing and returning of the Lord Jesus Christ in immortal flesh. In Acts 3, Ephesians 1, 1 Thessalonians 4, Luke 17, Malachi 4, just to mention some, we are acquainted with the conditions of the rapture or the appearing that precedes the coming. Each scripture demands a revelation and consequently an obedience to it, or what is the will of God and how is it fulfilled? I hope you caught that, because that's a very relative statement in there. See, the sermon itself is not dealing with you and me in our daily lives. It is dealing with this juncture of the appearing that precedes the coming. And all of these scriptures are veiled in mystery. You will not pick up any book in theology and have direct answers. You will have surmises. And those surmises to many people are direct answers, and that's hogwash. You people know what it is to want direct answers to your questions, especially when it concerns your physical welfare, your financial welfare, and above all, your spiritual welfare. You want direct answers, not hypothetical answers. So therefore, there has to be someone to tell us what these are. So each scripture demands a revelation and consequently an obedience to it. And some of this you have no way of obeying, no way, shape, and form. It is whoever God chooses to reveal it will be doing the service for God, because He will be acquainting the people with what they need to know, what is theirs and what is not theirs. Someone has to lead the people and be responsible for this revelation, so the bride can know the will of God and be ready to make her exit. Now you notice I didn't say she's going to fulfill the will of God of her own. She will fulfill it, that is true, or she will be the fulfillment of it, perhaps. See, that's like reading a will. They bring all the people in, and the will is read, and then the person who receives the benefit is the literal fulfillment of that will, because now the person, the beneficiary, has received the beneficence of that person who departed. The question comes, who will be responsible? Well, the answer is positively would have to be a prophet. Who else? Yeah. Now, people just don't like that answer, but you go to the Bible and you find an answer. You can't do it. And remember, the Old Testament is in the New as concerning examples for us today. And Paul doing that, he went to Moses so many times and spoke of other prophets also. It'll have to be a prophet. But the people like David, and you remember the story of David, who didn't consult the proper authority as to how to bring back the presence of God and the union of God and the people in order that God might truly be their king, though someone else was filling the position in an earthly manner. In other words, he had a vicar on the throne. But the people like David have not sought the prophet. Now it is too late. Now that's your shocker. Now it is too late according to the prophet and Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6 is the true story of what is entailed in Acts 3. So let's take a look at Acts 3. And we could read Matthew 12 and also many, many scriptures and Luke 17 and right down the line, but we're not going to do it because I have something in mind here which deals with a continuity. The 19th verse, the middle of it. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, a breath of fresh air, a revival will come across the land, an awakening. Now, it doesn't say it's going to be millions of souls saved. It's going to be an awakening to God. What awakening to God? It could be hundreds of things. It could be God going to heal you. It could be God going to get you out of here. It could be God going to give you some great beneficence, some physical thing, you know, like material things. What could it be? What would it be? Well, it would take someone to tell us. The prophet said it was a great healing revival. Okay, now it says that will take place. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before appointed or proclaimed in advance unto you. All right, now it tells you that this one that was already told to come back will follow this great thing here, that God's presence in bringing this revival of some sort, see, to the scene. So therefore you have God and his Christ once more involved, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things. So, all right, this great thing that happens must predicate a restoration. Once the restoration, then comes the person. You follow? That's what we're looking at. So, Hebrews 6 tells you about it. Let's look at Hebrews 6. Now, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That means a complete finishing off, period. Nothing more to come. Everything that was to come is actually satisfied that it did come and that it did do the job. That is perfection. It's like that organ and that piano. They would be considered the finest work in the house here. So, you bring it to perfection means it's exactly 100% according to the plan, exactly as the plan wanted it, and you can't take from it or it wouldn't be, and you can't add to it or it wouldn't be. This is it. Let us go on to this is it. Man satisfied, God satisfied, everything satisfied, this is it. Ho, you say. That certainly would have to be the resurrection, the first part, immortality, and millennium, and New Jerusalem, and hallelujah. Let's just keep going. You're right on the button. Let us go on to that final step where time blends into eternity and man knows that this is it. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Well, how can you? There's no way. Luther saw to that when the church went down. Of faith toward God, the just shall live by faith, of doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. In other words, all of these things now, you understand they're to take place. You might not understand all their orders and all those things because perfection coming will elucidate all of that. And this we will do if God permit. Well, God did not permit, but God must permit. And this is what we're looking at in this message. The permission of God. God is calling the shots. I have to use bad language, so forget it. I can say God is calling the time to be nice speech spoken. I'm not a nice speaking person. Ask my wife. You know, I drink out of a cup that's got a break in it. She'd never touch it with a 45. I don't give her. If I'd about eat a worm piece well toasted, not her. So look at God's calling the shots. I'm sorry. It's the best I can do. It's the vernacular of the hour, and I'm vernacularized. Okay. For it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, to ever renew them again to repentance. That's the key word here is repentance, which means a change of mind. God telling you what you didn't know before, but now you got to know it, and this leads you to the complete revelation, because that's what perfection deals with. The perfect people are those that are in the know. They know how God calls the shots and what He's calling the shots for. This makes you amongst the perfect. You're in the exclusive club. I can't understand people not wanting segregation. I'm all for it. I'm a segregationist from the round up. Segregated unto God. And it's manifest in every corner of nature. And I don't care how nice you are, how smart you are, how you try, you cannot get in this club unless you're foreordained to it. That's right. It's a kingdom. Can't do it. You're not foreordained, you're not going to make it. Now, this is a message, then there's going to be a last time message. And that's exactly right, because perfection deals with the human body being transformed. And at the last trump, the last message of the last church age messenger, this comes. So what I'm trying to show you here, what am I trying to show you? That Acts 3:19, the refreshing from the presence of God, is a tremendous spiritually empowered revival of healing and miracles and gifts. Look. These enlightened ones, on the grounds, they taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, taste the powers of the world to come. They are literally initiated in this tremendous healing revival that precedes restoration. Why does it precede restoration? Because it's the vindication of the man who is used of God. And everybody wants to be used of God. And the prophet's telling us straight, only one person is used of God. And that's the exclusive choice of Almighty God. Amen. Remember, they tried that under Moses. And Moses had to pronounce judgment. He never said, cursed, these people are cursed, I'm going to blot you out. He said, God, if there's two ways of doing this, not just one way, you taking one man, then he said, those men will live. But if there's only one man, and I'm that man, those men will die, and they died. And people say, I don't think that's nice. I don't care what you think is nice. Amen. You're stupid. Yeah. I'm glad that's the way it is. I'll tell you, when I say the way it is in my house, it settles all argument. Remember, I told you more than one time, I said to my wife, I don't even know what it's all about anymore, so honey, it doesn't mean too much. But I said, I'll tell you what. He said, there's the two of us can't have our way, and I'm going to have my way. And I did. He said, what if you're wrong? That's still my business. I wasn't wrong, don't worry. What had been wrong wouldn't hurt her anyway. I'm not here to hurt her. Two heads are useless. Two heads become a monstrosity, something for a sideshow, a freak out. One head, God's head. And He picks anybody He wants for the job. So here's the story of Acts 3 in Hebrews 6, and it's turned down. Now what happens? Judgment is at hand. It says here, having fallen away, they cannot be renewed to repentance. They cannot be ever enlightened again. Seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. That is Matthew 12, where He comes in the form of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles and manifests Himself doing the same things in the form of the Holy Spirit He did when He was here in human flesh, but He now uses the flesh of another person. Not a group of people, but the flesh of another person. Not an Oral Roberts with a William Branham. No. Where is Oral today? Telling you, God said, you got to have 4.5 million bucks come in or I'll die. I'm not going to send a cent to see what happens. Wasn't going to send a nickel anyway. I got no controversy. Perhaps God did say that to the man. I don't know. That's not the way my God acts in the Scripture to the elect, though. He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. I reason on the basis of sins and problems. He doesn't fool with the Tommy Osborns and the rest of them. They've got gifts and manifestation. I'm happy for them. Nothing against the brethren, brother, sister. But you got to go to the Word to understand this, and people don't want to go to the Word to understand. The end time messenger. Now, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it. How oft is often? 7 times. You say, how do you know? Because that's exactly how many times God gives a message. 7 church ages, 7 church messengers. What do you expect me to say? Got to stay with the Word. Well, see, my church says this. I don't care what anybody's church says. Forget it. I've been a rebel since the day I was born. You haven't been a rebel since the day you were born. You don't understand what you're even talking about. Now listen. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak. And what's he saying right here? He's telling us showdown time. Abel and Gerizim. The promise of God fulfilled in a blessing, and the promise of God fulfilled in a curse. Did you hear what I said? You didn't. I said the promise of God is a curse. Yeah. The promise of God is a blessing. The same curse that hit the earth under Noah was a blessing to Noah and cleared it all out for Noah. The same curse of the fire is a blessing to us because we cannot be incinerated. Immortal people don't burn. So no problem. Now, judgment is in the land. It is too late to repent according to Hebrews 6. Revelation 2:18-23 has been fulfilled. This is to the dark ages of the Roman Catholic churches. The Greek Orthodox and all the rest that were dead in that period. Under the messenger which is in the church of Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like a flame of fire and feet like brass. That's judgment. I know thy works, thy charity, your love and service and faith and patience and works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffer the woman Jezebel, that calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication, eat things sacrificed unto idols. Page 166, you can read that. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and then they've been adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And it tells you right there, this is that hour that all churches that have turned away from God will die in the tribulation period. I don't take any great joy over it. But neither am I going to plead to God and say, Lord, far be it from you, Lord, that you would do this to these people. Because no matter how loving and how nice they are, how kind, how everything, and everything seems to be going for them, the Bible said they say the rich increased in goods and have lack of nothing, but they're wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And the counsel of God is come to me and get it, and they won't do it. Am I supposed to stand back and have finer thoughts than God now? You know, I get very puzzled about all this stuff called love. I'm going to preach another sermon on one of these days, by the way. Got more material. I want to really show you what's out there, if you don't know already. And it's all wonderful. I'm all for it, for those that want. You get it that way, that's good. But there's something else that's a billion times better. I gave her space to repent. She wouldn't do it. And I will kill her children with death. The image made in America has been prophesied hundreds of years ago that as God would raise up Luther and Wesley and these men, they would take the women churches right back into the prostitution of the creeds and the dogmas. And you show me one church that has given up water baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost except a few stupid little Pentecostals. And they're hated by the Trinity Pentecostals. And they're wrong. The Jesus only, just as wrong as the Trinity. Because they want to get rid of Jesus. I don't understand people. I thought God did have a Son. I thought because the Son lives, we live. I thought He was our high priest. Certainly He came from the loins of God. He was a part of God. And when you're a part of God, it doesn't matter what the chemistry is.
Chemistry just gives it a form. And that light took on a form, and God loved that form to actually indwell it and put him in his right hand. He's on the throne right now, actually, that one that climbed on the throne. Put him up there as mediator, intercessor. And we're waiting for him to come. And we'll meet him in crowds in the air, and that one that's in our midst now, which is Elohim, will incarnate himself in that immortal form, and will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no big mystery there. The Lord said to my Lord, Jehovah said to Adonai, the beautiful one. The Lord descends, we meet the Lord in the air. What's the big mystery? No, you've been taught wrong for too many years, like I've been taught wrong. It's hard to get yourself down to get yourself in the heavenly places. We've been down here in the pig pen too long. Got to go where the eagle flies now, in the heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. The heavenly places, the only one heavenly places I know, when you can see, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's when you realize then who had chosen us before the foundation of the world. Now you're beginning to soar a little bit. Now if you're just mouthing, that's not doing you any good. No, it can't do you any good. Now, it's all fulfilled. Now, America has missed its day, as in Luke 19 and 41, I believe it is. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. If you knew what belonged to your peace, what was that belonging to the peace? Jesus Christ coming in the form of a virgin-born baby, appearing in the temple at the age of 12, son coming suddenly to the temple, then coming before the people, recognized by John the Baptist, baptized in water, and then coming before the people again, and putting them on the straight and narrow path by the word of God. They missed it. All right, what have they missed today? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Keep your finger there. 2 Thessalonians. Now you should be right with me. The first chapter, verse 7. And to your trouble rest with me when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in heaven with his mighty angels. In flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's he coming for? Now listen, to you our trouble rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in heaven as the judge come down to execute judgment and destroy the people that need destroying. Malachi 4. Don't get your own thoughts in here. I'm going to hit another place later on where people always get their thoughts in. Oh, you can't help yourself. Oh, the prophet's vindicated. But I know something too. Yes. What you and I know. Who obey not the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, but we do obey it. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the face of the Lord and from the glory's power, but we won't be. And when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. See? That's what they missed. Brother Branham categorically said that picture there, scientifically taken. Not much scientifically taken. Prophesied it in 1962, exactly what happened in 63. Listen, how much of the world knew what the shepherds knew? Ha! How many knew what the wise men knew? Ha! How many took time even to know in Bethlehem of Judea the babe would be born? Ha. And when they didn't know, what did they do about it? Ha. How many elect people were there? See, look, you got to know these things and keep them in your mind all the time, long when you wake, when you sleep, until our very dreams are permeated with it to understand. Okay, this belonged to the peace. Let's go back to Luke 19 again, because we're reading it. I forgot to put my thumb there, but it's all right. Now they're hid from your eyes. It's too late about that. Too late. For the day shall come upon thee, thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee on every side. You think that's not being done? The Russian missiles? The submarines out there? Cuba? Nicaragua? Ha! We don't even, Cuba, look at Russia, doesn't need to worry about any other place in Cuba. We know they've got silos there with the missiles. They can knock us out in 15 seconds and all this talk about putting money in Europe. Forget it. I agree with Congress. Reagan is off of his skull trying to protect the country with billions and billions of dollars out there. He can't even clean up the mess inside. A happy, contented people will fight and knock the spots off of anybody living. It's when they get down in degradation. They're not worth a plug nickel. They shall lay thee with the ground thy children within thee. They shall not leave thee one stone upon another. There won't be a city left here in America either. The Vatican is going to get the same kind of bomb we get. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. God, there's a time to be known. God, there's something about your time. God, what are you going to do about it for us? I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. See, there's all your answers, brother and sister. You don't have to believe it. I believe it. I'm happy. I'm glad you give me the chance to preach at you. Just confirms me in my faith. Come every day. We'll talk about it more and more. Hallelujah. I know you believe what I believe. The tragic thing is that the church has had a prophet vindicated by God, but refused to consult and obey. They turned down God's vision and took their own vision. Sure they did. Let's read. 150th paragraph. Now let's look at the vision we have today. Is it building churches? Is it building new things? Is it great things that's going to happen? Or is it judgment? Now the church doesn't believe that. Millions now living will never die. Millions now living will never die. Oh, there's a great revival coming. Oh, says the late Tommy Hicks. I saw a vision of the church bound. She was bound and helpless. And she was lying there like a mighty giant, but bound. Then I saw her cords begin to give way. And she rose like a mighty giant. Hogwash. Utter nonsense. How can you win the world to God when the world's got to go to the devil? Come on, tell me. Amen. What's 1 million people, 5 million people compared to 6 billion at the turn of the century? Let me give you an example. I've been preaching stewardship. The plant at Hanna is going to cost Honda $450 million. They're going to hire 800 people. It's going to cost Honda $500,000 to give one of you a job. Let it sink in. Most of it don't care 2 cents that it costs somebody millions to give us a job. We join unions. And the church has its own ideas. Millions are going to come in. Millions are not going to come in. Billions are going to die. Now you say, Brother Vail, you sound vengeful. Do you take pleasure? I take no more pleasure than this. God doesn't take pleasure. It's a necessity. Something's got to be done. What do you want to do? Do you want to come back here and live forever loused up? Say, Lord, I'm so sorry for the people. I will settle for sickness and sore in my bones and trouble in my life for millions of years, Lord. Let me suffer for millions that these have a chance. Come on, stand up and tell me. I feel like 2 cents worth of dog meat and thrown in the garbage in lots of times. Some of you are younger than me, you feel that bad too. I'm losing my sense of feeling. That's why I keep pushing you to keep believing. I ain't here forever. Sure to God, I'm not. you get out of the spirit of the hour, brother, sister, when you get your own foolish thinking. The spirit does not make you a judge. Does not make you foolish. But it makes you realize it has got to come and God made a way for you. Then what kind of a spiritual person are you that will not take the way? Well, I don't think I believe in Brother Branham. That's fine. You don't have to believe, but you've got to believe the Word of God says I'll send Elijah. But listen, he's got to come to the Gentiles. Amen. Because he's got to come before the great tribulation. And there is no word for the Jews this side of the tribulation. It's on the other side. That is in it. And who's Elijah going to come to? Come to the Gentiles. Praise God. So I don't know. Well, what do you know anyway? God has shown you. What is vindicated? Is it great things that's going to happen, or is it judgment? That's the promise. Genesis 18. The promise was, oh, you're going to have a son. Oh, you're going to have a son. Sarah, you're going to have a son. Yes, sir, Sarah, you're going to have a son. That's right, exactly. Sarah, you're going to have a son. And he comes down and he said, hey, before you get that son, I've got to wipe Sodom and Gomorrah off the map. Hmm. Well, hey, Lot's down there. Now, look, you wouldn't destroy those cities if 50 righteous people were there. Why, he said, I wouldn't destroy 50. No. Oh, he said, that's nice. How about 30? He said, 30. Hey, 20? No problem. 10? Be my guest. He didn't destroy one righteous with the wicked, and he never will. And that's what you're looking at. See? You must remember the parallelism of Scripture. Mount Abel and Gerizim stand side by side with the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel hurling the curses and hurling the blessings across the valley. In other words, the multitudes in the valley of decision can hear, which way do you want to go, judgment or with God? You've got your choice today. It's not hard to understand that. I'm sorry for people in judgment. I really am. I don't know where our children are. And grandchildren. Great-grandchildren come on. I don't know. How much my sisters are in, I hope all the way. They seem to be well-oriented. But they smack of some Pentecostal things, too, and that bugs me. Because when you're washed in the bleach of the Word of God, you don't come out smelling Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, denominational. You come out 100% free, not knowing what you are as far as they are concerned, but knowing who you are as far as He is concerned. At least you got your hope in that. The peril is in Scripture. You say, bless God, brother, I'm sincere. I joined a church. Got my B.A. I did this. It's all right. That's fine. Nothing against it. So had David. So had the priests of that day. So had the theologians. It was contrary to the word. Now, what's the word today? Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Behold, from the face of the Lord, there's going to be some kind of a breath. Reviving fresh air of a person like comatose. He's been in a bit of a coma. Maybe groggy. Just not aware. So, whoosh, breath of fresh air comes in. Hey, what's going on here? Then that brings restoration. Then that brings him, the Son, to the midair, where once more God incarnates himself. That's tremendous, isn't it? See, okay. God said how he would do it today, how he would restore. That's Gerizim. Restore, destroy. Restore, destroy. Right? See that? Restore all things. What he would do again. What did he do in the first place? To the Gentiles? Sent a vindicated prophet apostle. You know, Paul hardly ever called himself a prophet. Never did. William Branham denied it. They both called themselves apostles. Paul said, I'm an apostle. William Branham says, I am a missionary. Then he said, what does the apostle do? He puts the church in order. 1 Corinthians 15, the Lord descended the shout, the voice of the prophet. Who puts the church in order? Making him the apostle. And what's the church built on? The apostles and prophets, or prophets and apostles. So now the church is being rebuilt. I will do again what I did at the beginning. I'm going to send Elijah. Look, you can't divorce these words restore because they're in three or four to five different places. You've got to put them together because they're contingent with each other. I'll restore all the years that canker worms ate. Now, just a minute. He's not going to go back 6,000 years. Not going to go back 2,000 years. He's going to go back what was before the devouring took place. And he's telling you what devoured it. The caterpillar, the canker worm, the palmer worm, the locust. And there, what are they? It's the same worm. it's in a different stage of life. And when Catholicism started eating, then the Lutherans, Methodists, Pentecostals, and all the rest all down, he said, I'll restore everything back to a church exactly like it was in the first place. Now, what precedes restoration? Vindication. What is vindication? Signified miracles by a prophet. And I said signified. You don't do it and then say, that was thus saith the Lord. You say, thus saith the Lord, it will, and it does. And you say, there you are. You know, years back in Canada, we had a wonderful, wonderful stretch of weather like you're having now. Best, they say the best December on record. I remember years back then, I was 16 years old, we fooled all the hens. They laid eggs all winter long. Never froze them up. Poor old hens worked all year long. They frittled around in the dust, had a great time, you know. And we loved it. It was the best winter I ever saw. And around about spring, an old Indian came on the scene. He said, could have told you all along, I knew there'd be a good winter. Oh, brother, that's not the way it works. You and I learn after the fact. But with the prophet, is always before the fact, or it ain't no fact. He's got to prophesy, and it comes to pass. Deuteronomy 18. Okay, you see that? Okay, it's the same word. I'll restore back to a church exactly like that was in the first place. Now, he's not restoring churches. He's restoring a word bride, bringing her the way she was. Now, how is he going to do it? How is he going to restore? How he does it is this. He gets the church to come back by disencumbering the root wherein is the life, so it can have the same life. In other words, Christ so obscured by the creeds and dogmas, he now becomes unveiled before us, and he is our life. And the church receives her restoration. 153. Watch the vision the other night. It's proving this is a church bride. Exactly the same bride came up this side as did come the other side bride. In other words, age number one bride under Paul is perfectly duplicated in age seven under William Branham. That's restoration. What goes on in between doesn't matter. Only the end and the beginning. Because the bride had to fall in the ground like Christ. But now she comes back with the same perfections that started her, because she had to start perfect. And if God ever does anything, he does it perfectly. And he does it in perfection. Not just how he does it, but the what of it is done in perfection. So therefore, he must do it at the end. Why? Because the seed itself is coming up. And that seed is always perfect. As Brother Branham said, one day you'll find out that the day you thought you were born again and you had eternal life was not so. You'll realize that you always had it. See, that's, keep that in mind. Never lose it. Now, and after those prostitutes passed with their gowns on, that's a vision he had, their little old things just this way, dancing rock and roll and calling themselves a church, you say, well, we don't do that. That's the way God sees you outside this message. Now, that's a lead balloon. That's enough to make anybody throw up. Right there in denominations. Because they're going to say, don't you dare tell us that. Because we know. Ask your question. If I'm telling you the truth, I believe I am. According to William Branham, I sure am, and I'm laying on thick. What chance has this message got anywhere except in a very few, very stupid people? Stupid as far as the world's concerned.
Amen.
Undiscerning as far as reality, so-called, is. Look at it. You're all taught in school the same as I was. There isn't a kid sitting here past the fifth grade. Oh, let's go to the eighth grade to be nice. There's even the tenth grade. Oh, you'll go all the way to the tenth grade. Didn't the teacher ever tell you at one time the majority is consistently wrong? Consistently. Not 100% wrong, like Barnum said. You can fool some of the people. Is it Barnum or is it Abraham Lincoln? It doesn't matter. They both had a lot of good showmanship there. Maybe Lincoln. You can fool some of the people all the time. You fool all the people all the time, because some of the time. And you can fool all the people some of the time. And by all the way down. But you can't fool all the people all the time, which means there's a little group somewhere that's going to believe in spite of all the majority. So that's what you're looking at.
Amen.
See? And remember, as the days of Noah. Noah came and he said, listen, if you don't listen to me and you don't come my way, which is God's way. And you get in this ark, you are lost. And they said, oh, boy. If that wouldn't make a maggot throw up. Who does this guy think he is anyway? Poor other. Have you yourself ever heard anything so nauseating? Look it. I've been hearing Brother Branham for a long time, so has Bill Graham, then Norman. I suppose longer than all, are longer than anybody here. And look at, I'd be honest with all three of us. There is no way in our minds at one time we did not think, who does William Branham think he is to put everybody down but himself? Norm, isn't that the truth? Just think it over. Think it over. Of course, by the time you got in, you were so thoroughly hit on the head of what he was, a different story. But back in my day, before I really realized that he was what he was, Elijah the prophet, just believing that he was strictly a prophet, I would wonder to myself, isn't there just somebody else that would make it? Now, if he really was Elijah, I don't know that he was. I said, God, I won't be sacrilegious, Lord. But I don't know. Let's say he was. Elijah. Then if you don't listen to Elijah concerning the Bible's own teaching, he destroys utterly and he doesn't leave one. Right. Not one misses. Clean sweep. I want to ask you a question. Did anybody make the flood outside of eight people? Well, this fella grabbed a log and he floated. Oh, did he? With the water churning and last 40 days of rain? I could understand a few water bugs could have made it. I could understand a couple things maybe made it in the autonomy of God. Humanly speaking, but my Bible said everything got in the ark got saved, anything outside the ark got lost. That could go for every single bug. You say, how could every bug do it? Because God just had the bugs come in and lay their eggs and fly off again. Paul, I know. I don't understand all these things, but I believe them. You say you believe them, then let's go right down the road and find where we're going. See, what's the vision? You say, well, we don't do that. That's the way God sees you. It isn't how you see your own self. It's the way God sees you. Now, this age sees themselves rich and increased in goods and don't lack a thing. That is honest before God how the age sees itself. This is not guesswork. This is thus saith the Lord. Laodicea says we're rich, increased in goods. We don't lack a thing. We don't need Elijah. We don't need anybody. We have got it all. This is it. But you take all of those churches and set them at variance, and you say, now, Baptist, you stand up and be counted against these flat-mouthed Pentecostals. They say, that's what they are, flat-mouthed Pentecostals. They don't think of the word. They just talk in tongues. They most know they get a few healings, but not the devil can heal too, so that's out. Now, let's get the Church of Christ. Woo, they're dynamite. They hate everybody but themselves. They're wicked. Well, I've seen them. Yet got a lot of lovely folk amongst them, too. Sweet, sweet people, too. Baptist got sweet, Pentecost got sweet, everybody got sweet people. What I'm trying to show you is doctrine. The Baptist mount was his burp gun, and the Pentecost was his cannon. And the Church of Christ with a burp gun and a cannon, and he's got some, what do we got? He's got some of those virus bombs. You'll kill each other unless they're driven together to put it all in a pot. Huh? And say, let's kind of bleed this together. Now, don't you think that's what happened in Noah's day is going to happen in our day? You can't get on this message, brother sister. So what I'm trying to show you, don't think you're anybody because you're into the message. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, look, this is what you're looking at. This is where you'd better be. And this is how you better start thinking. That there isn't any way of escape except this one. No man sees himself wrong. It's when you look in the mirror of God, it tells you whether you're wrong or not. All right. You look in the mirror of the Word to God, the Word of God today. Let's look in the mirror that's set before us. Come on. 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 17, 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. Somebody's got that ministry to bring about immortality. See, I don't think so. Well, I disagree with you. I'll read you 12th chapter of the book of Romans. For I see unto you through the grace given unto me, verse 3, every man that is among you. No, beg your pardon. In verse 2. And be not conformed or fashioned after this world, but be you transformed. A complete metamorphosis. Go on into immortality by the renewing of your mind. What is it that God could not get to in the Laodicean church age? According to Hebrews 6, the mind. So therefore, there is a ministry delivered to somebody that will position you in the Word in this hour. And if this is not the hour, William Branham was not that man. There will come a man. There will come a man. Now read it. Don't be kids sitting there and say, well, brother, Dad, I've got the Lord. Hallelujah. You haven't got God at all. I don't know what you've been sold, what you think is God. It says here, we have this ministry. Didn't say God had it. Somebody's got to have a ministry to move all the veils and all the clouds from men's minds and men's eyes. Amen. So the life of the Word can shine in. Somebody's got to have it. Right. You say, well, Brother Bale, it's got to be Jesus. Then where's Jesus? Ha ha! He's here in the form of the Holy Ghost, but you can't see him. And he said, when I come, Elijah comes with me. Can't you understand what we're talking about? You weave it back and forth a thousand ways. It's always the same truth. You cannot get away from it. This is what you're looking at. You say, is it that simple? Yes, it's that simple. How do you receive Christ? He that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. So now, hold on just a minute. I want you, Jesus. I don't come that way. Ah, don't tell me that, Lord. You and me, Lord. No, not you and me. That fella and you to me. Well, that's like Catholics. Oh, no, 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 no. The Catholics elect, I appoint. They take a vote. I tell. Not like the Protestants who have their votes and elect, choose a preacher's line. I don't understand people. When you understand the Word of God, brother, sister, you come to a place where you don't understand people, you understand God. When you understand God, you don't understand people. You feel sorry for them. And you understand insofar as you are a people. But if you've got something in here, that little germ in you cannot understand that because you understand spiritual to spiritual. Huh? It is no longer carnal to carnal. And it is not spiritual to carnal. And it is not carnal to spiritual. It is spiritual to spiritual and carnal to carnal. And if so be I am spiritual, full of the Holy Ghost, I cannot get this out here. I cannot conceive. It's a blank to me. And I say, how can you not see it? Where are your eyes? Where is your mind? And they say, oh, come on. You got to be an idiot. You're in the clouds somewhere. You're fooled. This William Branham stuff and this prophet stuff. You're carnal, carnal.
Right. Amen.
We're spiritual, spiritual. You hear what I said? You don't believe it, do you? I'm glad you do. Because if you're not spiritual, spiritual, what are you doing here? Well, you can sit here. I like more than one person. Several people. You're always grateful for your coming. But I feel very, very low if people are not catching these things. See, you're not what you were. Here, you are getting more and more to be what you are. For he said, one day you'll find out that you didn't receive eternal life then, you always were eternal. Spiritual to spiritual. I'm quoting from 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, comparing spiritual and spiritual. That's why we can't understand that they don't understand. And that's why they don't understand the world all around us like this. They don't understand you, wherever you are. They can't understand us. We don't understand them. You know what it's like? It's just exactly like the old Aesop fable. One day the fox and the crane decided to have lunch. And so the fox said, I'll treat you first. And he brought up flat dishes, and the crane couldn't drink the soup. And so it was Crane's turn, he brought out a great big tall dish, and the fox couldn't eat the soup. That's the way it is. Call it eagles or call it anything you want. See? Now, the mirror of God's word, it tells you whether you're wrong or not. If David would have done that, he would have seen he was wrong. If Ahab would have done that, or those prophets would have done that, they'd have seen themselves wrong. See? So look in the mirror for the word today. In other words, what goes with what? Look in the word. What goes with what? You follow what I'm saying? What goes with what when you're talking about this message or anything else? What goes with what? It must be in the framework of the word so you know that what goes with what. And you can only know that by vindication. I'll show you shortly. I don't know when we'll get to it. We're not going to get today. 45 minutes have gone by. Two paragraphs. A vindicated prophet said Ahab would die. Now, here you're getting the gist of it quite a bit. A vindicated prophet of Ahab said Ahab would die and the dogs lick his blood. And Micaiah's prophecy was exactly with it. Then he knew he was right. Because, you see, God said, this is the hour to lick the blood. Even Jehoshaphat should have seen that and known it. When Micaiah saw the vision, knowing in himself, he wasn't much in favor with the people in those days, but knowing in himself that he had thus set the Lord and that he was right, he prophesied correctly in spite of Ahab. Church pressure and pressure didn't mean a thing. He said, look, I got to say what I'm supposed to say, or we'll kill you. Well, so you kill me. People are always afraid of the onslaught. And I'm told on good authority, which I am not an authority. I don't know how good their authority is. But by people that came through a scrape, say when a wild beast attacks you like a lion, you go into shock and you really don't feel being torn to pieces. It's afterward. They say that's why in nature, you can see in the economy of God that many animals kill other animals. It's no big deal. How much do you feel if somebody cut your head off? Or suddenly walking down the street, a ton of bricks hit you just like that, broke your neck. You wouldn't feel anything. You might feel a whole lot on the other side. That eerie, terrible feeling having been lost if you aren't right with God. Notice, we're bringing this thing now in this day when we see the great hour that we're approaching. Notice what David was trying to do, too. I have a little note down here on that. He was trying to bring the ark to the city of David, his own city or his own denomination typed to this day. Ah. Like one person said, we know William Branham wasn't that prophet or he'd have come to us. That was a bunch of Jesus-only people said that to my knowledge. Look back yonder when the Lord first spoke down here in the river. Proving no prophet can go to any group. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming. Where did John go? Stood in the river. He didn't go to the Pharisees and join up with the Essenes and, and the Sadducees and the Herodians. And you name it, there's four great big sects at that time. Brother, the assemblies couldn't stand for that. Neither could the United Church of God. All of them. They had to have someone. That's somewhere of their own. They all had to do it, see? Just exactly. All of them had to bring it to their own house. How was it done? They sat there like, and no offense now, remember, I am not criticizing Tommy Osborne. I'm just telling you what happened. His own word said, as he sat there, a voice said to him, that's the way it's done in the Bible, you can do it too. That's not what the voice said to me inside of me. They said, if you ever listen to any man, that's the man to listen to. Now, but God could have spoken in both cases. I have no argument with anybody. God could have spoke to him and not to me, or vice versa. But this is what's always happened. They ran with what they could duplicate, and you cannot duplicate a prophet except in a very minor way by virtue of gifts, which do not mean you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, but simply means you are gifted. Okay? And so they ran with it. They wanted someone to make their denomination great. He wanted to bring the ark to the city of David. Why? Well, you know, because that was his city. There was no place ready for it. That's the reason you can't bring the message to a denomination. See, there's no place ready for it. Why? Because they already got it doped up. The word, the ark, Christ, the same yesterday and forever, and all of his identifications. You can't bring it to your organization. Now, let's stop here and be honest. What has been my battle? Listen to me, Brother Branham. I was thoroughly oriented in the preaching and teaching of a conglomeration of Baptist, Pentecostal, some Presbyterian. How are you going to interpret his message in the light of your former understanding? You got to dump what you got. You just can't do it. Otherwise, you're putting new patches on old garments. Now, Jesus said that. What are you going to do? You can't go to the organization. They'll never believe it because there's no room for it. Now, let's go to John 8, and let's read something here that I think really in due deference to God, not Jesus the Son, because the Son didn't make errors. We could make in deference to God, we should rip it out of our Bibles. I hope you caught that. It's my sarcasm. 8 and 37. I know you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Do you know there was a people on earth? Nice people. And they were Christians. You say, oh no, oh yes. You're confused between the Greek and the Hebrew. Messiah and Christos is the same word. And they were looking for Messiah. So they were Christians. So called. And he said, you have no place for my word. Well, you see, Brother Bale, that doesn't really mean that. Then you tell me what it means. And you'll say, well, it means this. That, you see, they didn't understand. They really had a place. But they didn't understand. They didn't give place. I ask you a question. Who do you want me to believe, you or God? I'd like to know. I really would. Because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says you got no place for my word. Now, Jesus didn't say, now look, there is a place there, but you won't take it. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Well, no, hold it. That is a very blasting expression because Jesus wanted to get the point across. Then I might as well, Jerusalem, then knew Jerusalem is the belly. Or Bethlehem is the belly. Because that's what a weird spiritist told us in Canada when I was 20 years of age. He said, you see, Bethlehem doesn't mean a place where Christ was born. It's in the belly. And he believed in solar plexus mind. I know a lot about those things. I studied. Junk. And so-called Christians are no different. Now, who was that spiritist father? The devil. And who are their father? The devil. Then did Jesus mean what he said? And they knew that he meant what he said. See? I speak that which I've seen of my father, and you do what you've seen with your father. And they said, Abraham's our father. Now, if you could trace yourself to Abraham, you could trace yourself to Adam, and right back to God. Hallelujah. He said, if you're Abraham, you shouldn't do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham do? He believed. And he accepted God in human form. Now, you seek to kill me. Man has told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. They knew that he fornicated with the old serpent baby. Israel's always knowing that. But you tell a Protestant or a Catholic. Catholics might, they're pretty smart. Not too many, but some. You tell that to Pentecostals. I came out of Pentecost. That's what hit it. Because you see, Pentecost really onto my neck years ago. Like this fella Canadian out there in Prince Edward Island, he wrote denying that cellular therapy works. Because some stupid MD. Yes, some stupid MD wants to deny it. Because it'll cure you instead of your great bypass. We have a prayer for a man with a bypass. The Canadians won't allow Dr. Rinse's formula in there, which will clean out all your tubes. You don't have to have a bypass. And there goes $54 billion in doctor bills down the drain. So this smart Pentecostal big mouth. He should have read Time magazine, pages that I got in my briefcase at home. How the cellular therapy works. Yeah. Prenatal cells injected. Because we're animal. Yeah, we're animal. We were made animals by God, mammals. The Jews knew this. Circumcision. You know, I get so weary, so tired, so bored, so angry with all this claptrap and balderdash by the big mouths. The pseudo-smart preachers aren't worth a dime a dozen. They stink. The teachers are the same. Look and see your classroom and your church rooms. There's nothing left. They're the ones that brought up the doctors, the lawyers, and the whole bunch of them. I was a teacher once, and I'm a preacher now. And I spun those kids around my fingers. And I led some into communism. You bet I did, because I couldn't stand capitalism. I'm a extreme rightist. Conservative square, but not a Republican. Just a square. They haven't got the answers. I told you I'm telling the truth. When Dr. Gay, I think his name was, took over, went from Los Angeles to the Chernobyl accident, he took over cellular therapy, prenatal cells, to treat the cancer victims and your AMA, your MDs, your FBA, the whole bunch will not let you have it if you need it here sitting here. But you can go to Mexico and I'll tell you just where to go and get it, and you'll get help. Oh, they fought Leotrell. But they never tested. Kettering Sloan were never tested under the proper conditions. But the big mouth preachers say cellular therapy doesn't work. Said the book was wrong. I got news to that man. I'll meet him here if my pleasure comes, and I'll meet him at the White Throne. Yes, I will. I'm being prepared in this hour for the White Throne, my brother, my sister. Before we're finished, you'll read where Brother Branham reads out of Deuteronomy, or I read out of Deuteronomy for you. Oh, yes, you'll find out. We're not here fooling. My judgment's passed. If you think not, it is. Sure. Yours is too, on the same grounds. Shall not come under judgment. We didn't turn down light. Sure. When Micaiah saw the vision, he prophesied against Ahab. John the Baptist never went to the scene. But David, he wanted to bring it to his own denomination. The people there won't believe it because there's no room in their hearts for it. 43rd verse. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my words. Now there's no place in the heart for the word. Now they haven't gotten ears. 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Now I'm asking you, who's got them? Who's got them? So Brother Bale, it's in the Bible. Bring me 500 people on one verse. There'll be 500 ideas. Who's got the right one? Tell me. So who has? In this hour, we take a vindicated prophet. Because he said, if I don't send Elijah, I'll get rid of them all. Then Elijah has to be the key, right? Okay, bring on Elijah. He that God heareth God's words. He that hears them not is not of God. I want to ask you a question. Were those Pharisees of God? No. Well, I'm not a Pharisee. I want to ask you one question. Do you go back in your minds and say, well, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have done what these people did? You're the sit here as former Catholics? Former Pentecostals, former this, former that? Proves right there what you are. Just let it sink in a while. Take a while maybe to get that one, but it's there. Jesus said, those scribes and Pharisees, they said, why, we wouldn't have done what our fathers did. He said, proves right there. He said, you're one of them. Because if you're honest, you'd have said, if I'd have been there, I'd have done that too. I'm sorry, I'm one of the gang. I'd have done it. He was trying to show them, you're turning down light now, claiming you would have received light in that hour. You are a liar. Yeah. Would you, as a former Catholic, have turned down Luther or accept him? You'd have turned him down 10-1. You'd have questioned. See, the Catholics are saying right now, we wouldn't let Joan of Arc die. Why, if it weren't that crazy Leo and Tetzel, Luther would not have left us. See? They're dead. What about the Protestants? Oh, we wouldn't have allowed, a Servetus to have been killed by by the people. Burned to the stake for believing in one God. Examine your hearts today. If something came on the scene which could be new, and there's nothing going to come on the scene which is new. Because you see, you had the new thing now. Went on for years and years. Where would you place yourself? What if this generation went on for hundreds of years, having turned down Brother Branham, only to find that the things he said was really right according to Scripture? And they'd say, well, you see, if we'd have been our fathers, we would not have turned him down. That would be in the face of a light that came. But there's no more light to come. Because the sun has got to set sometime. The light has got to go out. And it's in Laodicea, the darkness that's in eternity. The die is cast and judgment comes. Now is this the hour? I say it is. See? Now, no room for it. Doesn't the Bible say he was outside the church of Laodicea, of the Laodicean age, trying to get in? That's true. Last church age, third chapter. There was no place in the city of David, no matter how loyal it was and how great it was and so forth, it still wasn't the place. It was going to be at Jerusalem. That's where it went later when the prophet told them what to do with it. Not down the city of David, Jerusalem. So David had to bring it to his own city and no place ready for it. Now let's face it. Where's the bride going to go? She's going to go to Zion. There's no place in the world except for Zion. Christ is our ark, and they won't receive it. That's paragraph 158. Christ is the word. That would be not only written word, but the manifestation of it for this hour, which is the Son of Man ministry. Christ is our ark, and they won't receive it. Christ is the word. They won't receive it. They want their creeds, their denomination, a new ark, a new carrier. They want the denomination to carry it, a new ark. Remember, Christ is our ark. You believe Christ is the word? That's the ark then. Is that right? All right. Now, not just this printed page, brother, sister. You're not looking at that. You're looking at the hour of perfection. You're looking at what he is now. And the earmark is, he is exactly at the end what he was at the beginning. For Omega is Alpha and Alpha is Omega. You don't look in between because it's not there. You got to look at the two ends. There's no place where he said it's the middle. He said it's the ends. So you look at the ends. You say, well, I don't think that's right. Well, all right, then fuss with God. Say, God, I think you're stupid. You ought to listen to me. What's this business about end and beginning and end? Ha! Anybody knows the answer, told you. If I've got an oak board and two ends are oak, the middle is oak. There's something you learn about when the end time comes, the end looks like the beginning. He goes on back. That's why when you see the Spirit of God doing through the prophet Elijah exactly what he did when he was here in human flesh to Israel, preaching the same truth, showing the hour, you know that this is it. And you got the scientific proof by cameras. There it is, and there it is. See? All right. Christ cannot be carried to his correct position by any denominational current. He deals with one person and not a group. Now, Brother Branham said, all hell is against that doctrine. All hell. Now, let's find out. Let's find out. Hey, okay. All right, here's a nice young man. He makes himself gives himself preeminence amongst the people that believe Brother Branham. He lets you know that he knows that he knows. He has tongues, interpretation, and gifts in the church if he could only have them. He admits his sorrow is not that he has microphones to pick up those things, but nobody's doing it. Now what's that got to do with what I'm talking about? Brother Branham said, get him off the floor. Put him in a room. So this man is saying, who needs one man? I'm a man, and I say, gifts are here. You get what I'm illustrating? All hell is against one man doing it. So when you rise up against anything the prophet says, you are part of hell rising up against the truth. Amen. God uses one man. He didn't use Lee Bailey, he used William Branham. Now William Branham could use me. That's the way it went. That's the way it is. The word can use me now. He never dealt with a group, only one person. If he did, he's contrary to his word, Amos 3:7, which he reveals to a prophet. And you can't get the word lying. No, sir. the word is the truth. In other words, there is headship for revelation. And that is by one. And all hell is against anything that says contrary to that one thing, one man. But see, they tried to do that. The ark cannot be carried by an organization. There are too many heads on it. See, it cannot be done. He's promised not to do it. And he won't do it that way. When he promised to do it some other way, he can't do it the way people want it then. And that's the reason he promised he would not do it any other way than the way he does it. It's like a tongue twister. Here's, I'm trying to get at you what he's really saying. God made a promise. I'm doing it this way. He made a promise. I won't do it anyway but that way. I won't do it this way. I won't do it that way. I'm going to do it this way. So I can't do it any other way but this way. And that's the way it's going to be done. But that's what he says. Now watch what Brother Ben says. Don't think those thoughts. I can feel them. See? Now I can name you names of people sitting right there. They went right back to their churches and would not put the gifts under discipline. One of those men rose in his pulpit years later and said, if Brother Branham were here today, he would admit that he is wrong and I am right. The man has nothing to show for anything. His women there, understand, will cut the hair and wear slacks and everything else now. I hope that's not true. But listen, if you go off one word, you'll soon go off of all words. All may take a while getting there, brother, sister. Emphysema doesn't choke you overnight. But pack after pack of cigarettes or polluted atmosphere will eventually get you. Then one day you will die with emphysema. So with your sins. They will mount up and mount up, not like eagles. No, no. So he promised he would do it a certain way, and anything contrary to that he won't do. Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, tells you that very, very succinctly here. Right, that's a hard little book to find because it's wrapped in there. Okay, I know that whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, anything taken from it, and God doeth it, then men should fear before him. In other words, if you see a certain thing, you know that's how God did it, you have fear right now, you know it's God. God sent a prophet, he predicted, it came to pass, have fear, reverence, that's God. Thus saith the Lord. That which hath been done is now, notice, and that which is to be has already been done. God requires that which is past. Tell me he changes, not in substance, not in ways. Can't do it. See, so he's got one way of doing it. Now people don't like that. See? He promised a certain way. Anything contrary, he won't do it. But by his original way, according to what he said in Amos 3, that's the way he'll do it. And that must be vindicated and proven to be right. Now watch. Now you know what he promised today, then he's doing it today. What did he promise? He promised the revival. He promised restoration. We have had the revival, now we're in restoration. That's just what he said he'd do. He'd open those 7 seals. And what he'd do? Reveal the mysteries back there. So what's he talking about? Malachi 3, Revelation 10, Matthew 12, Luke 17, Ephesians 1:17, 1 Thessalonians 4, the whole bit. Reveal the mysteries back there. How these baptisms, all these things have been messed up. And here it is in his very presence. Now watch. Science proves it. Presence. Presence. Then tell me he didn't come down present. Listen. I can't mention names. It's discourteous. It's disrespectful. It's terrible on my part to mention names, so I don't dare do it. But some people I have tremendous respect and love for still do not see the difference between that, this here, and this man being full of the Holy Ghost, and you and I full of the Holy Ghost by the Holy Ghost himself that does the filling. They still think presence is him and me and you. No way, shape, and form. It won't work. Because the baptism gives way to the Holy Ghost itself. It's got to. Presence. Now he says right here. I read it, didn't I? And here it is in his very presence. Science proves it. The heavens declared it. Men standing, looking right at it, seeing it happen. And not one thing has he said, but what he made true. He told how those angels would come, what would happen. There you are, just so you would see where you are at today. Where are you at? Just what this man is preaching where you're at. Judgment is in the land. And it's passed over the bride. You are not going to be judged. You have been judged. You've been declared righteous. Not on yourself, no. by election. Now, any man that has God's Spirit upon him knows this is the truth, because God's Spirit won't speak contrary to the Word. Now, that's right. And if the Spirit's in your heart, it won't go contrary to that. Oh, no, it'll be right with the Word. You say, I got the Holy Ghost, I shouted, spoke in tongues, and danced spirit. That doesn't mean one thing to God. See, David did the same, practice, the same thing back there. He sang with all he might, shouted with all he might, the rest of them did too, and they're walking right into death. That's right. That doesn't have a thing to do with it. It's the Word that counts, the Word of the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. Yes, sir. In other words, a prophet knows how to wait, and the rest don't. In other words, make sure it's the time, then don't jump in unless you know that you were the one called to jump. See, they that have God's Spirit in them, look at the promise for today, and match. That's the word in the hour. Until they see it, wait till they see it, and they say, that's it. God reveals it to them. In other words, they have the five musts. William Branham took them, and you and I do too. Like Nathaniel, Philip went and found Nathaniel. Nathaniel said, now wait a minute, I know that's promise, let me see it. And when he saw it, he said, that's it. The woman at the well said, now I know. I've heard all kinds of theologians. I've heard this and that. And I've read the Bible myself, and I know there's a Messiah coming and the things he'll do. So you must be his prophet. Now what's he talking about? The sign of Messiah. Reading the woman's heart, anybody's heart. And he said, I am he, Messiah himself. She said, come on, see a man. This is it. She waited until she saw Messiah identified by the Word of God. Then she said, that's what we waited for in 400 years. We haven't had a prophet or anything. Here he is, and he himself says that he is he. Now, come out and see the man, a man who told me the things I've done. But the priest wanted to kill him. And they finally did it, see? But you can't kill his spirit today. That's right. No, they killed him. It was here to bring us to him, and we're thankful. You can't kill it, you see. Now, what is he talking about? Hebrews 6 and Matthew 12. Hebrews 6, crucify thyself, Son of God, afresh, put no shame, and remember in the Spirit he comes and visits the Gentiles. Now, notice how great God is, how great his works are, how he can never fail. Now, God has provided an original way to do things, and he never do contrary to that. How much time we got, John? Oh, got time. Now, he promised in the last days what he would do, and he sent us a message. Now, watch. And he sent us a message. Now, remember, the message is to forerun, and remember, restoration is to forerun. So the message and restoration are synonymous in that the message must bring restoration, right? Sure. And remember, the message is vindicated. So therefore, you're on the right track. He said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming, so your message would forerun the second coming. And the second coming actually has to do with the literal coming in the air. And this message would have the same identification as Elijah, as Elisha had, as John the Baptist had. And it would turn the hearts of the people, not to the denomination, but back to the original apostolic fathers, back to the Word. So what's back to the fathers? Back to the Word. Who are the fathers? The prophets. You are of your father the prophet. You are the children of the prophets. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How does it come? By the prophets. Paul said, I've begotten you unto God. Peter said, you've been begotten by the Word. How does it come? By a prophet. The Word. Okay. How these things have been vindicated. How then the sounding of the last angel, Revelation 10, in the days of the seventh messenger, these mysteries, that's all been hidden. Why did the Methodists do this, the Baptists that, the Church of Christ, Jehovah's Witnesses, all do that? These mysteries will be revealed in the last days under the seventh angel's message. But not when he starts out doing this, but when he begins to sound his message. In other words, there's a preparation for the message, which is vindication, to make you stop and look and see what is going on, what's to come out of this. And a message comes out of it. And it's too tame for everybody but the people that want to listen. They don't want messages. Bless God, don't stand there and shoot your mouth. Do something. It's always do something. Do something. What about this kid? Well, slug in Middle East. Do something. Isn't that the truth? Do something. What if you're doing is all wrong? And nice, somebody said, well, I don't know what to do, so shut up. Because somebody comes along and clarifies the situation. What would happen if a bomb even fell on a little dump like this? You talk about panic and uncoordinated screaming and jumping and running. No coordination. What's the Pete Town got here? 200 people? Are that many? What about a city? not a prayer. What about this? It's the same thing here. What are you supposed to do? Do nothing. Just wait. Collect your senses. Which way is it going? Which is the way to run? Said a man ran from a bear, and he walked into iron. Wham! He was gone. Another fellow ran from a stake and put his hand against the wall. And another thing bit him, and he died. So we're trying to get a lesson across here. It's not do, jump, run. It's to find out whether you should do, whether you should jump, or whether you should run. God spoke to man, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Remember old Samuel? Oh, you know, poor old Eli, he wasn't much of a guy, but you got to feel sorry for the old boy. Just too soft and mushy when it came to his kids. Just too soft and mushy, period. He couldn't run anything out of hardly a garbage wagon. But he knew one thing, and Samuel said, what should I do? He said, you just say one thing, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I'm open, Lord, for you to tell me something. You know, can the church get that lesson? I don't, no, the church can't get the lesson. No, the church is too busy doing jumping up and down, you know. Listen, see, not the years in preparation, that's not the message. He never came with the gift of healing and the big ministry just for that. No. But when he begins to sound the message, these mysteries will be revealed. And what's that? What the ministry was all about was the message, which was all about restoration, which is all about getting us out of here. Transformed. And here they are not knowing them, and you people are witness to that. They don't know this and they don't know that. But we know. And then in that great observatory, see, about talking about the cloud, so that the world will be in doubt. They're still wondering what happened. Hidden from the wise and prudent. But it brought on the seals. The continued coming of the Christ into the church. Compares with the river. Moves out in the world and around, just moving around. See him. And he's healing miracles, signs and wonders. Thus saith the Lord. Watch him move in now, discerning people's hearts. This is he. Watch him come now, bring his word and say, this is for you, my people, bread of the hour, to get you across in the palate, into the promised land. How many took the bread? Okay. Tucson, these big observatories, who took the picture of it. Still wondering what happened. What is it? They put in the paper. Does anybody know anything about it? They asked. What is it? How could it happen? There's no fog up there. There's no air. There's no moisture. Why, they're 30 miles high up there. Oh, my. There should. Now, listen. Now, I hope we've got time. There should be signs in the heaven above. And when these things take place, earthquake in divers places, then shall appear the sign in the heavens of the Son of Man. That day, and he interpolates by the Holy Ghost, Luke. He doesn't say Matthew. He doesn't say Mark. Did you hear what I said? Are you listening? Everybody hears? He does not say Matthew. He does not say Mark. He says Luke. The Son of Man will be revealed again. He revealed himself. Now, he's talking about this cloud, and he's talking about the Son of Man appearing in signs of heaven. So let's go to Luke 21. We will not go to Mark. We will not go to Matthew. Now, you listen carefully as I tell you something here, because I want you to get this. And we're going to read 25. And he says, is it 21, Ellen? Oh. Get the wrong chapter, and that's not going to help me. Okay. There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, seas and the waves roaring. Now you know that there's signs in, up there in the moon, there's also the flying saucers. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Future, but not at that time. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When? Now! The brother Branham picked out. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, your redemption draws nigh. Now, you read in Matthew, and you read in Mark, and it lets you sound as though it's going to be in the tribulation. And therefore, the smart, wise men, like this German fellow, who couldn't leave Zechariah alone to defeat and undermine Brother Branham, they will take this and say, but Brother Dale, it says over here, it says this, and it says this, and so therefore, I've got my thoughts. Well, you take your thoughts, and I know just where you're going. Now, be honest with you, and I'm not crude. I'm just telling you. You will not be where I'm going. The prophet said this. Luke is where you read. This was the sign of the Son of Man appearing in him. Unless I read my sermon wrong, read my word wrong. What are you going to do about it? Say, well, that's just the man's word. Well, you are exactly right. Let me read now from Acts the 13th chapter. Verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest there come upon you which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. Okay, die. Perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Trying to do God a service, eh? The world will look like Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, my brethren, don't be in the spiritual things. See, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are there that testify of the word, the Logos, who actually manifests this. They are there that testify of truth, the things that God is doing in this hour. Let's pray. Just rise.